Paul will now introduce this week's letters.
The first letter comes from Keith Wald, who was puzzled by the comparison of flights to Egypt with trains to Liverpool. I am confounded by your report on the rate of progress of the Norwich to Liverpool train. Leaving aside the unfathomable mystery of why a man in Norwich should wish he were in Liverpool, how would finding himself in Sharm el-Sheikh, because the journey time was slightly less, make him more able to conduct his business in Liverpool than he was when in Norwich? We live in a very strange world with an uncertain destination. Perhaps it would be better for all if we could just relax a little in the window seat and enjoy the journey.
The second letter responded to the news of subsidence at Shire Hall. Matt Williams of Christchurch Road in Norwich wrote, "Sadly, subsidence was an issue for the Shire Hall from an early stage after its original construction in the 1820s in part of the deeply infilled Castle Ditch. It could be viewed as another example of the inevitable consequences coming home to roost of a poor choice of site and or short-termism in construction. The walls had been built on a buried timber platform, which had not only moved in the soft ground, but also 20 years later found to be largely decayed. The surveyor, Joseph Stannard Jr., oversaw a major underpinning project involving the insertion of iron and new concrete foundations 10 to 12 feet beneath the walls, and the two new wings were added at the same time. That work was completed in 1846, so perhaps hasn't done too badly. Stannard, who was paid £98.10 for his work, died in 1850 and is buried outside the main door of St George Colgate Church."
Charles Almond of Thorpe St Andrew is astonished that the work at Heartsease Roundabout is taking so long. "After 7 months' work, the £4.4 million safety scheme is reaching its final stages, with the Heartsease Roundabout being completely closed for 5 weeks for resurfacing. As a regular driver who uses this roundabout, I have not been able to fathom out why it has taken so long to reach this stage. Can someone from Norfolk County Council explain why it takes 5 weeks to resurface a roundabout and put in the various road markings, etc., when the whole of the M25, a distance of 117 miles, was completed in 11 years?
Our final three letters touch on a subject that may be dear to many listeners' hearts, the rising number of muntjac deer. Doug Fulcher in Thorpe St Andrew suggested that muntjacs can control their own numbers. "Muntjac are in the news and several of your readers are being troubled by them eating flowers and vegetables. Jennifer Andrews of Cromer is appealing for the local council to address the problem. It might not address the problem, but my Living Countryside book, bought at great expense many years ago in weekly parts, advises that muntjac control their own numbers without the help of the council, so Ms. Andrews can sleep soundly at night knowing that she and others won't be completely overrun with these small members of the deer family. In the meantime, some form of protection is advised for her flowers and veg."
Godfrey Sayers of Wiverton does not think Doug Fulcher understands the problem. "Living in the city, I think Doug Fulcher can be forgiven for not understanding the problem muntjac have become, but not perhaps for believing everything he reads. They do not, as he believes, control their own population. If they did, we would not be experiencing such an explosion in their numbers. In the countryside, we are suffering a scourge of these creatures. I see them in my garden every day. Until I did, as he suggested, and took measures to restrict the damage they were doing, we were losing most of our flowers and vegetables. I cycle the roads of North Norfolk regularly, and on every ride, whichever way I go, I see or smell three or four dead and mutilated muntjacs by the side of the road or in the bottom of a hedge. If this carnage is extrapolated over the county, the number of deaths must be huge, another indication that they are not controlling their own numbers. These animals are dying painfully of dreadful injuries, smashed to pieces by fast-moving vehicles. I realise that calling for a cull would set fire to the highly inflammatory animal rights supporters, but limiting muntjac numbers by humane methods has to be preferable to just leaving it to vehicles to mow them down.
Steve McKinder of Denver has much the same message. In the spirit of Saturday's Skipper's sermon, might I be allowed to suggest to Doug Fulcher that his Living Countryside book's assurance that the muntjacs naturally self-regulate their numbers is little more than a load of old squit? If the muntjac in West Norfolk are controlling their own numbers, then I'll be eating my proverbial hat with bread sauce and broccoli shortly. 15 years ago, a muntjac sighting was something to note, and now you can see more muntjacs roadkill than rabbits. I'm afraid I'm with Jennifer Andrews, Mr. Fulcher. These irritating pests are an increasing plague upon gardeners, farmers and forestry plantations, and unless we get a grip on the little blighters, we'll be overrun. I don't suppose the Living Countryside book, which Doug noted he bought at great expense, had a recipe for muntjac stew or sausages, perchance?